Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and as always, I will be your host for today's show. With me today is an author. She is Susan Scott. It's very nice to have you on the podcast, Susan.
Thank you, Miro. Lovely to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure. And for our listeners, Susan is a business psychologist, a nutritional therapist, a trainer, consultant, and a coach, as well as a public speaker and of course an author. And we are very happy to have her today on the podcast. And of course, my first question for you, Susan, is what inspired you to become an author?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because actually I never had any aspirations to be an author. I was persuaded. I've got a passion for walking, and one of my friends who works for the Department of Work and Pensions, we used to often chat about well-being in the workplace, and he kept saying to me, you've got to write a book, you've got to get all these ideas down in a book, people really need it. I think in the end it just got me thinking, yeah, I should do that. I've got all this experience, I've got this knowledge, I've even got the t-shirt, because I did burn out about 10 years ago, and I know I can help people, particularly young professionals, so hence the book.
Great, perfect. And before we get into the topic of burnout, can you perhaps give us a quick overview of what the book is about and what can we expect from it?
Yeah, sure. The book is a how-to book. One of the things I'm very conscious is that you can read books and think, yeah, that's all very good. Now what do I do? So the book is actually full of exercises, questionnaires, case studies, tips, techniques, everything you need to do, that you can sort of do all these exercises and activities and pull it together to identify what you can do to make a big difference to your life, a difference that's going to reignite your life and help you on your road to career success. So it looks really from a mind-body perspective, looking at that whole fight or flight stress response and the effects that has on you, in particular the adrenal glands. And it looks at your attitudes. So it looks at what's going on in your mind and how a combination of both of those can actually lead you to a state of chronic stress that actually, in the end, can take you on that dreadful road to burnout.
Right. And of course, for our listeners, there will be links in the description below where you can find out more about Susan's books, of course, How to Have an Outstanding Career and How to Prevent Burnout. But I'd like to get into the meat of today's conversation, actually, and that is the topic of burnout. And it seems to be a very serious issue when it comes to young professionals today in a very busy business environment. And many of us actually take it for granted. It's just something that happens. Why is that?
Oh, that's such a scary thing to say, Miro, because you should never take something that affects your health almost as part of the course.
Yes.
You know, young professionals, these are talented people. These are our future leaders, and they need to be nurtured. They need to be cared for. And the worst thing would be to say, well, you know, it's part of the course, but they'll probably come back stronger, because actually they don't always. Burnout is one of these dreadful things that you feel physically, mentally, emotionally exhausted. It's not something that's just corrected by having a few nights, early nights, you know, some good sleep. You feel at rock bottom, you feel alone, you feel unable to cope, and it has a profound effect on your health. And above all, it's utterly miserable. And anyone that's beginning to struggle coping with the pressures and demands from life, whether that be work or finances or relationships, they're going to become distracted and unable to concentrate on their performance at work. In effect, they're there in body, but not in mind. And that means they're underperforming. It's something nowadays we call presenteeism, and it is a huge expense in the business world. Some research that I carried out recently in the lead up to my new book, How to Prevent Burnout, 24% of young professionals had said that stress was affecting their performance. And if you think about that, while that's happening, that means organisations are not getting the best that they need from you. Never mind all the long-term effects that's going to have as well. And it's reaching epidemic levels. My survey again that I did, 39% said they felt close to or actually burnt out. Now, wow, that is really sad.
It's a scary number.
It is a really scary number, 39%. And why are young professionals particularly at risk? Because this is why I've targeted my series of guides at young professionals. It's because they're driven, they're aspirational, they're working in a very competitive and exposed world, and they want to move up that career ladder quickly. They're impatient, but it's competitive out there. And that means they are throwing everything at their career. Not just that, their career actually defines who they are. That whole idea of a career ladder and you work your way up the career ladder has gone now. It actually defines the very nature of that person. And part of the process is that they want to give the best impression they possibly can of themselves. So they don't want to make any mistakes. Everything should be perfect. They don't want to say no in case they're thought of as uncooperative. They want to take control and they want to show that they can do everything. And this world now of digital technology means that work can be taken home. And that takes away time that they would be resting and recovering from all those pressures that they've been experiencing in the day. And above all, they don't share concerns with their managers because they think it's going to make them look bad. And actually, their managers can't be absolved from all this as well, because they should be watching out for the signs. 41% of young professionals feel that their well-being is not supported by their line managers, according to my survey. And again, that's a really shocking statistic.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess that the next question I have for you is, how can we begin to fix this? And I suppose more importantly would be, what can we do to actually halt it before it takes over us?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And actually, it's one that everyone should think about, because it begins with personal responsibility. No one can do it for you. You can't blame your manager, you can't blame your employer, you can't blame your parents and your family. You actually have to take responsibility yourself, because burnout comes from chronic stress. And stress comes from how you personally view a situation. So what might be challenging one person will not necessarily be challenging another, because it's how our minds interpret that situation. This interpretation is based on a number of things. It's our attitudes, the experiences we've had, the emotions we're feeling, our personal values, our standards, and actually as well, our mental and physical capacity. Because if we're feeling mentally well and alert and able to concentrate, we're going to be able to approach it much in a much sort of more robust way. And I always say, we see with our minds, not with our eyes. And what that means is that stressful events are not in themselves stressful. It's actually about how we view them and the stories we're creating in our minds. So in effect, stress that leads to burnout is a mindset. And what's happening is that we evaluate these pressures, these different challenges that are going on around us automatically. We do it in the subconscious part of our brain. So if we've had a bad experience before, our subconscious tells us very quickly how we should react. It doesn't waste any time weighing things up. It's all about survival, and we need to survive. But the one important thing we really need to do if we're going to fix burnout is we've got to come off autopilot, and we've got to start thinking. We've got to use a particular part of the brain that as human beings we've evolved to use. It's called the prefrontal cortex. This is where we do our logical thinking and our analysis. And we need to use this and take back control. So it's not about being on autopilot anymore. And what happens when we're triggering that fight, flight, stress response is that normally we would go into autopilot. It's the fastest way of doing something. And we're not actually designed to be dealing with this constant stress. Dealing with stress, how our bodies deal with it, is helping us to survive. So we've got to somehow switch that stress response off. because physiologically, stress does things like raises our blood pressure, raises cholesterol levels, it slows our digestion system, suppresses our immune system, and really focuses our mind. But if we're doing that for a long period, these changes will remain there permanently, and that puts you at risk of various health conditions. So a lot of what I'm talking about here is actually covered in the book, How to Prevent Burnout, where it looks at how stress actually affects us physically and mentally, and also how our minds can cause us stress actually through our own attitudes.
Right. And of course, I think that as well, if you are not mentally and of course physically in your best condition, your ability to make good decisions and of course deal with, let's say, a lot of workload or whatever it may be that's thrown at you is actually affected.
Definitely. Stress starts to wear you down. I mean, it uses up a huge number of nutrients. Just the general pressures of the alterations physiologically to your body, that's stressing in itself. It upsets your blood sugar balance. So one minute you feel really energized, the next minute you're crashing to the ground and exhausted, reaching for that coffee or that biscuit to just get some energy back again. And mentally as well, you know, stress is addictive. It's a fabulous feeling when you're under stress to be able to focus and concentrate. But if you keep that going for a long time, you actually get addicted to it. And it actually, in the end, those stress hormones, cortisol, are quite toxic for the brain. And you start to lose your capacity to think clearly. In fact, to engage that part of the brain, you should be engaging the logical reasoning part of the brain, the cortex.
Wow. And in your opinion, and of course your experience, are there any industries that suffer from this burnout more than others?
Yeah, I think there's been quite a bit of research on this, but it's anywhere that's highly demanding, and demanding in the sense of it comes from clients or targets, or even the demand of being creative. Because one of the things, you know, if you're under a lot of pressure, creativity can often be the casualty. So the sort of industries that I see the greatest risk really of burnout come in things like law and accountancy, financial services, education. So teachers, I was only last night talking to a head teacher who said she is losing teachers at an unprecedented rate because they can't cope anymore with the pressures and the demands. The medical services, so nurses and doctors. Marketing and advertising is another really big industry. And, you know, we can't forget our frontline services like firefighters. I'm even aware that actually there's certain industries that have very high suicide rates, things like construction and veterinary science. You know, that will all come from the pressures and the demands and the effects that that all has on your mood. Leading actually to burnout and possibly even then suicide, which is, again, an incredibly sad thing to think about.
Yeah, and of course, there's been a lot of research recently which indicates that suicide rates across the board are relatively up, and especially in young men, where they seem to be the highest they've ever been.
Yeah, they are. They are going up. 14 men a day take their lives. And I mean, the highest risk is from about 21 to 45, and particularly around that sort of late 30s, very, very high risk there. And in many cases, Miro, it's because people are not talking, they're not looking out for the signs, and the person that's really struggling is holding everything in. If someone just stopped and actually said, "Are you all right? You know, is there anything I can do?" Actually, that can go a huge way in putting their minds back in perspective again.
Yeah, and of course, and I can only speak from a male perspective, of course, but I feel that there's a lot of pressure to not really talk about these things in a lot of workplaces, especially with younger men who feel very competitive, as you say, and try to prove themselves. It can be deemed as a weakness almost.
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's two aspects to it. It's that being deemed as a weakness, but also, you know, organizations are going through a lot of change right now. I mean, it's just getting crazier and crazier. And the casualty of change are redundancies quite often.
Yes.
So you're terrified that your name's going to be top of the redundancy list if you show that weakness. So they're not going to share it with anyone.
Now, I'd like to focus on a bit of a brighter note here, as in, can you perhaps give us 3 tips on how we can avoid the burnout?
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to give 3 sort of quite high-level tips, I think, because I mentioned earlier, you know, it's about you taking responsibility yourself. So rather than the usual tips of make sure you have a good diet and make sure you exercise, I'm actually going to approach it from, first of all, you need to recognize the signs and symptoms that things aren't right for you. So the top 3 things I see are people have difficulty sleeping. They either have trouble getting to sleep, or they wake in the middle of the night and their to-do list just springs into their head straight away. They are often irritable, quite uncharacteristically irritable, and fairly short with people. And they have health worries. So they might be suddenly experiencing irritable bowel syndrome, or some allergies, or they feel quite low, or they're getting migraines. You know, all those are an indicator that this fight, flight, stress response is getting stuck in on. They can even be tearful or quite withdrawn. I know personally, one of the things I demonstrate is I start to pull back and start to refuse social events because I think, no, I'm too tired. If I can just keep going on this and get on top of it, everything will be okay. So you need to take action and thinking, what are the signs and symptoms, and start to take action about them. And remembering that it's about how you perceive the situation, not actually what the situation is. So that's the first one. Second one I always recommend is identify the triggers for your stress and take action for those. So know what the triggers are, what's triggering that stress response, and see what you can do about doing something about them. If it's money worries, can you go to your bank? Can you get a loan? If you're working for a toxic manager, who can you talk to? Go and speak to someone in HR and see what can be done. If you've got too much work and you just can't cope with your workload, speak to your line manager. Think about how you can bring back your capacity to cope and that sense of being in control. This is what resilience is. It's being in control. And you have to get that sense back again in your capacity to cope. And then the third thing is actually take time out to recharge and recover. And, you know, I almost put that at the top of the list. We do it to our phones every night. We plug our phone in because we're lost without it. But we don't stop and think that we could be lost without ourselves. You know, we need to take that time to recover. We've got to switch off. And we've got to think about the quality of our recovery time. So during that recovery time, what can you do that switches off the internal chatter? So that's all the thoughts and ideas going on in your head, the things where you're reliving the past, you're worrying about the future, you're churning things over, you're reliving conversations. You've got to switch it off. And in doing that, things that can help with that, well, mindfulness meditation is really gaining momentum now. And the reason that really works is it starts to reduce those stress hormones. Reading a good book that just absorbs you, or listening to music, or playing sport with a friend. Anything that just switches off the always on and puts you into recovery mode. Because when you're back in recovery mode, that's when cortisol, the stress hormone, switches off and the body returns to normal again. So your blood pressure goes down, your cholesterol goes down, your digestive system fires up again so you can start digesting food and absorbing nutrients, your immune system strengthens, your mind relaxes, you feel so much better. So those are my 3 suggestions, Nero.
Great, that's some fantastic tips there. And I'd like to close off with the question I ask everyone that comes on the podcast, and that is, what are you currently reading?
Oh, that's always an interesting question for me because I always have so many things on the go. But I've got a bit of a theme going here. You might recognize this. I've got a wonderful book called The Wisdom of Asia, 365 Days, which is by Danielle and Olivia Folmy. And this is a book that has a quote for every day of the week. Not only does has a quote on one side of the page and it has the most beautiful picture on the other. And every day I look at the quote for that day. Some days I don't even quite understand the quote. Other days, they absolutely hit the spot. They're amazing. The other book I'm reading at the moment is called The Book of Joy by His Holiness the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And it's all about a week that they spent together to try and understand what joy means. And as a psychologist, I'm always looking into that whole concept of happiness. But happiness always relies on various certain sort of external circumstances. And I think joy is something very different. I think it's a state in our minds that animate us, that are really special to us. So I'm really interested. I've only sort of in the earlier chapters of this book. And then the third one I've got on the go is actually a DK eyewitness book on India, because I'm looking at having a holiday there.
Right. Great. And of course, for our listeners, we'll put descriptions of the books and links below, where you can go and you can find out more about them as well. But with that, I would like to thank you very much, Susan, for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you, Mira, and thank you everyone for listening.
Yes, and of course, if you would like to know more about Susan and her work, which we feel is very important here on a podcast, of course, you can find the link below and you can go and visit youngprofs.net, where you can find more about burnout and how to cope with it. It's a very serious issue, and we hope you will take the time to go there and find out more on how you can deal with it. Of course, you can also find us on our social media profiles at Lit Radio. And once again, I would like to thank our listeners very much for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you on next week's episode of Lit Radio.